Again, good morning. Let me open us up in prayer. Lord, we are here at the start of a new year. I ask this morning that we are able to contemplate on how our experiences this past year can help each of us to improve our relationship with you. Please help us open our hearts and minds to your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I get going, I just want to say, start of the new year, I got up this morning, and it's a great thing that I type everything up, because my head just spun. It just spun on stuff. And in coming and talking to everyone, in contemplating the last 12 months, and knowing that a little hindsight literally is 2020, Sorry, I was raised a preacher should open up with a joke. Good thing I'm not one, huh, Rick? Okay. That's bad. That's even bad for me. It's great to see people at the start of a new year. As we look around to the first full week of 2021, many of us may ask, what now? Completely legit question and appropriate coming off 2020. But I want to ask, what now based on post-Christmas? We just spent the last month looking at the birth of Christ, and rightfully so. It is an event like no other. The birth of the Savior, hope and faith sit in Bethlehem. Imagine being Joseph and Mary, the previous weeks of travel, birth, and visits from beings of heaven and earth. And then everyone leaves. They too would be sitting there asking, what now? Today I'm going to look at what now from what came next in Matthew's gospel. We will look at fleeing and running and how both of these lead to God speaking to us. If you have your Bibles with you, just so you know, I'll be bouncing back and forth between Matthew chapter 2 and Exodus 2, 3, and 4. I'll be bouncing back and forth between those two. Matthew 2, 13 through 15. And we've heard this over and over and over again for the last month. When they had gone, this meaning the Magi, shepherds, and the in-laws that were not mentioned, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he, being Joseph, got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. Here's this Old Testament reference from Hosea that Mark has already referenced. Hosea 11:1, out of Egypt I called my son. This reference is to the Old Testament parallel to the life of Christ. Both Israel and Jesus are sent to Egypt as infants with a family, God's children, and God's son. Both were then led out of Egypt by God's calling. But first you have to get there. We have to go to Egypt. How many of us understand what it means to flee? Seriously, flee. To leave your home, belongings, people you know, and go to a place that is unrecognizable. And to get there, it is truly to go through desert. If you were to look at a map of Israel going to Egypt, there's not much. Jerusalem sits roughly in the middle of Israel, with Bethlehem 6 miles to the south. From Bethlehem to the Dead Sea, which is to the east, okay, heading inland, is about 15 miles. Mediterranean to the west, approximately 25 miles, and the desert is to the southwest of Israel, starts just 60 miles away. It's a little bigger than the Columbia Basin, this entire area that we've talked about. Now, after getting through the southern half of Israel, it's a measly 375 miles to get across the desert. The North Sinai is a passageway, a trade route, not a destination. There are few cities or towns on the direct path. Imagine if most of the Northwest that we live in was an open, flat desert, like real sandy desert. The small family would have had to go to the north or the south of that desert to find a place settled, and I use that lightly, because there still, to this day, are no large towns that is settled by other people. They fled south, and then they went west, as this is the only land to get across, to get from Israel to Egypt. Think of the amount of faith needed to do this, to leave your homeland on a donkey with what you can carry, and one of those things that you carry just happens to be the baby Jesus. Both Mary and Joseph had immense faith to hear God speak and be strengthened by what they heard. Think about that faith. In Jesus' ministry, he would say this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Is that the attitude we all have? Both Mary and Joseph have been spoken to by God, and they responded in like kind. It's a huge part of the Christmas story. And here again, it is a springboard of the next part of the story. Only this time, it is to flee a very long distance. The Bible has a history of people fleeing and running, and for a vast number of reasons. Hagar ran from Sarah due to the mistreatment that Hagar was receiving from her. In 1 Samuel, David ran from Saul. Saul, the current king, David, the future king. Kings don't like to give up their throne. Remember, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus are fleeing to Egypt because of Herod and his fear. Fear has a strong effect on people. In the Bible, people run with purpose. Fear, but also joy, or even a mixture of both. Possibly the greatest reference to running in the Bible, in my mind, is Peter and John running to the tomb. A mixture of nothing but raw emotions. But we need to focus on fleeing and running for extended periods. Thinking of times where perseverance is fed by our faith in Christ and listening to God speak. Today is not about a sprint, a single event, or even a single day. We need to look at perseverance under trial, focusing on Christ, listening for God to speak. Notice how I keep saying God to speak? Gina and I talked about this beforehand of all good teachers circle around to their main point about 26 times. Again, teacher thing. Remember the verse from Matthew about after Joseph is told that to take the family and flee to Egypt. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." This is Matthew referencing Hosea, which in turn is referring God's children or chosen people being brought out of Egypt. To get out of Egypt, first you have to be in Egypt. I know it sounds silly to say this, but it's kind of how it works. So if we're going to talk about getting out of Egypt, that means we have to take a look at one of my favorite people in the Bible, Moses. In the middle of Exodus chapter 2, Moses flees to Midian. As a reference, Midian is generally located to the east of the Red Sea and south of Israel. So where Joseph and Mary and Jesus went south and then headed west, if we just go south, a little bit to the east, Red Sea separates it. That's where we're talking. We don't know how Moses got from Egypt to Midian. Boat, caravan, camel, combination of the ways. But we do know that he flees from Egypt and comes to a stop in Midian. What do we do once we flee from something or somewhere? WWMD. That means, what would Moses do? That's why she married me. She gets my jokes. Ah, there it is. I'll change that. Well, Moses got married and became a sheep herder. Seriously. Actually did it rather quickly. Chapter 2 of Exodus has, listen to this. Moses born, saved from the Nile, becomes royalty, kills a man, flees Egypt to Midian, stands up for a group of sisters at the well, marries one of the sisters, and has a son. Bam! That's how you flee. Go big or go home. 22 of the 25 verses in Exodus 2 sum up the first few decades of Moses' life. By the end of the chapter, Moses has found a level of life that is safe and comfortable. And all because he fled. And he ends up doing the most noble occupation of the day, herding sheep on a mountain for his father-in-law. It's a pretty good life. Moses had fled to safety, but then it was time to move on or run in faith. He had already fled. So God contacted Moses. Not with a text, a tweet, or an Instagram post as we do nowadays. God used the latest version of the iPhone of the day, known as the burning bush. In this conversation, we see everything that you should see. We see an introduction of God to Moses, a reason for the call. Hey, I need you to free my people. Moses asked 20 questions because of all of his fears. He addresses all of his fears. And Moses basically tells God, this has been a great call, but you've got the wrong number. And God tells Moses, stop whining and do it. Kind of gets a little angry about it. And while I may have taken some license in my paraphrasing, the point is clear. God called. Moses answered. They talked. They honestly talked. I absolutely love this conversation between God and Moses. It's real. Has big emotions. Moses is confused and scared to the point of trying to talk his way out of the call that God has for him. Can you imagine God, yes, God, telling you to go and serve, and you say, can't Todd do it? I mean, he already lives there and stuff. And after all of this, Moses still had God's confidence. God's confidence never wavered in Moses, not once. And then he gives Moses the assurance to go and do the job that he's been called to do. We shouldn't be surprised by this personal conversation between God and a person. The Christmas story starts with a similar conversation. In the Gospel of Luke, an angel goes to Mary and says, greetings, you're highly favored and the Lord is with you. What is Mary's response? A mixture of strong emotions and her questioning. For 10 verses, there is a conversation between the angel and Mary over what is to come in her life, but also for Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. This is big. It's huge. Not just one of those, hey, did you get the memo moments? When God speaks, we're expected to listen, but also to respond. A couple weeks ago, Mark asked us what we came to understand and feel in regards to 2020. Many of you talked about perspective that comes from trials and the reflection of those trials. That shows you are in a place to hear God speak. You listen and you respond. Right after the talk Moses has with God, now we're in Exodus 4, 20 through 23. So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hand. The Lord said to Moses, when you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says. Israel is my firstborn son, and I told you, Let my son go so he may worship me. Verse 22 of what I just read is why we look at this Old Testament passage. Israel is my firstborn son. This, of course, then takes us back to Hosea. Out of Egypt, I called my son. To get God's people out of Egypt, Moses has to go back. He has to go back to which he came because God called. And when God speaks, we need to listen. Moses listened. He took his wife and two sons and did what? Got on a donkey and went to Egypt. It's pretty simple. Sounds a lot like another family we've been talking about for over a month now. We run with purpose and we flee with fear. It's what we do. What were we afraid of in 2020? What did we feel? Let me read you some words that I put down that I think we, at some point, can relate to. Panic. Unrest. Fear. Suspicion. Impatience. Skepticism. Pain. Hatred. Retaliation. We're only a couple days in, but now it's 2021. How do we transition from fleeing back to running? You have to do something. And it may be physical. Now, I'm not saying you actually have to run. For those people that know me, I don't run. I may coach runners, but I drive a truck behind them. Okay? You don't have to truly run. Hike it to the top of a lookout, or simply do your work with a quiet diligence. Take the physical edge off so that the mind and heart are ready. We're a bunch of kids hooked to phones, scrolling through posts as fast as we can. But we need to get ready to hear important information that can only come from listening to God speak. And it's okay to remove yourself from everything from time to time. How do we know this? Jesus did. Jesus removed himself to a boat, a mountain, the desert. Why? To hear God speak. Matthew 14 has two really key and important stories. Feeding of the 5,000, it's a big one. Possibly even a little bigger. Right after that, Jesus walked on water. These are huge. But the transition between these two stories should not be skipped over. After the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus made the disciples get in a boat and leave. And then he dismissed the entire crowd. Tells everyone, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Get out. I'm sure that's not exactly what he said, but okay. Then Jesus goes up on a mountainside to pray. In essence, he kicks everyone out after a big event and goes for a walk by himself so he can hear God speak before the next big event. And I'm assuming to be heard, to be in communion with God. Moses fled to Midian, but when God called, Moses ran to Egypt. Joseph and Mary fled to Egypt with Jesus, but ran in faith back to Nazareth because they listened when God spoke. Jesus, our Savior, removed himself from everyone to go and listen to God speak. Many have spent this last year living in fear. All of us at some point have, even if it's briefly. And I tell you, we all have negative outcomes from that as well. The fear has caused pain and sadness that has separated people from one another and at times from God. Folks, we need to own it. But this is part of the perseverance to strive for Christ. If someone in your life needs more time and space, okay. If someone is fleeing or running, look for what you can encourage in their life that points to God. While we cannot continually live in fear, we can flee to safety that allows us to return to running in faith to God every day. When we run in faith, we are looking for God speaking. And those conversations are powerful. Put your body, mind, and heart in a position to hear God speak. Flee if you must, but run in faith. Then we can do what God asks of each of us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.